listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so we are going to go over the games in the NFL. We are at week number six. It got started last night, 19-8, Kansas City beating the Broncos. But are these games that are coming up, how much value do they have? So let's get rocking and rolling with that, and let's get started for week number six in the National Football League. And let's go out to London again. Third straight week we have played a game overseas. We can wake up to watch NFL football as the international series continues at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium between the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens. Both teams are coming off losses. The Titans fell to Indianapolis. The Ravens, they lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Titans have won one game away from Nashville, and last time I checked my map, London is away from Nashville. They have lost all three games on the road this season, but they're the designated home team. Does that matter? I don't know, but I do know this. The Titans are pretty good against the run, although they did get gouged a little bit against the Indianapolis Colts. But the Ravens feel like they should be 5-0. They made mistakes against the Browns. They had drop passes against the Steelers. Do you know who doesn't feel that they should be 5-0? The Tennessee Titans. But nevertheless, no matter what I present with you in this game, it doesn't matter because it's wake up with NFL football. Click. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. There you go. Live from London. You got Titans and Ravens. Boy, are they going to start a war with us because giving them Titans-Ravens? Ugh. It's really not that great of a game.
You know, I think about this, right? Because England, you know, London is looking at it's like we got three NFL games. You know, they're all excited. Germany only gets one. So, you know, there's always a common rivalry between England and Germany. Until London realizes, like, but yeah, look at the game Germany's getting.
When Kansas City and Miami go there in November, that could be the biggest game of the year.
Bigger than Cowboys Niners?
Right. Well, yeah, in retrospect.
Well, I mean, both teams could, what? When is that game? It's like week six, week seven?
Yeah, it's coming up.
I mean, both these teams.
We're already at week six.
We're already at week six, so. Yeah. I'll have to look it up.
So I think it's November, early November.
But, I mean, you know, theoretically, these teams could still just have one loss each.
Yeah, that's true. Very, very true. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the Atlanta Falcons will take on the Washington Commanders. Atlanta got a good game from Desmond Ridder last week. It was enough to make people go, okay, calm down. He had two bad games. Let's keep him there, which is kind of sad because I was hoping that Taylor Heinicke would take over the quarterback job and go up against his former team.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping that would
be the
case.
Well, now you have to do it the old-fashioned way, Tony, yep. And hope for an injury.
Hope for an injury. Hope he slips on the turf at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Maybe, so Heinicke can get maybe they hired a certain Chargers doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, right. the Atlanta Falcons did trade for Van Jefferson this past week.
Huge trade, huge news.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares?
What position does he play?
Yeah, wide receiver, which is people don't even care.
Isn't he on the Broncos?
Yeah, right. The Commanders are led by Sam Howell. They didn't have a very good game against the Bears the last time they played. Mm-mm. They are 2-3. The Falcons win all their games at home. They like Atlanta, so they win there, and now they're 3-0 at home at 3-2. There you go.
You know why you watch this game?
Because
they better do it. The overhead shot of
Bijan Robinson. Yeah, watch for Bijan Robinson.
You know, but like we need more overhead shots of him.
That's right.
That one that I've seen 1,000 times, it never ceases to amaze me.
All right, here's a very interesting game, and that is in Chicago between the Bears and the Vikings. So the Vikings don't seem to want to play NFL football this year anymore.
Yeah, they're done.
Yeah. I mean, Justin Jefferson is on the injured reserve, and then the second that happened, people were already planting Kirk Cousins in another location, which is pretty cool. A pretty cool experiment if you're Minnesota coming off a 13-win season. And by week five, your star wide receiver is on the injured reserve. And the people are already saying, well, I think this quarterback would be actually better off here or here or here or here. The Vikings should be making phone calls. Wow, that's throwing up the white flag quicker than France. I mean, for the love of Pete, the Bears are coming off a win against the Commanders. Let's be honest, people. We can evaluate that game all we want. Are we really sure Justin Fields has turned it around? Would you stake anything significant on Justin Fields turning it around? I'm not. But against a team that's already like, we're done over here, then maybe they can.
I'm betting all the money he's turned it around.
Yeah, right? Why not? I might take the Bears in this game.
I think I will. I think the Bears' woes are not as much as the Vikings' woes.
Oh, it's so because I think the Vikings.
That's kind of getting more into you're going to have a bad season getting into toxic.
Right.
Just simply because of the fact of, their record from last year, even though we all said it's a farce because of how many one-score games they won.
It was very close, yeah.
You know, it was like every game they won was a one-score game. So, and you were just on the right side of it. It's like, that's not sustainable. And we saw that in the playoffs. They immediately lost it. I think that coupled, now you have a losing record plus, one of your star players is out and you're already talking about shipping your quarterback. Toxicity is growing in that city.
I think you're right. And it's too bad for Kevin O'Connell, who I liked last year.
Yeah.
I thought he was a young, up-and-coming coach we weren't talking about. Remember how late in the season we were like, by the way, no one's talking about Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah, well, what's his name up there?
Yeah, at the time, like his 10-win team or a 9-win team. No one was buzzing about him. No one was buzzing about everybody else. All right, Seattle and the Cincinnati Bengals. Apparently, Joe Burrow is like in a video game where you're in a shootout or something and your health is low and you have a magical elixir in your satchel and you can just get it out and drink it and automatically you got full strength. That's what happened to Joe Burrow. Because apparently this calf injury it's done. It's healed. He's good. He's fine. Started whipping the ball around all over the place against Arizona. He'll probably do the same at home against Seattle. And then everyone in Cincinnati at Paycor Stadium will be, there he is. There's the guy we love. There's the guy we love. Throwing it around to, T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. And the Bengals are starting to get good again. But Seattle's 3-1. They won two games on the road and 3 in a row. They may not go away quietly. This has got some punch
there's something to it. Yeah,
both of these teams are going to be around in the playoff conversation. How deep, how precarious, I've got no idea. But they are going to be around in the playoff conversation. It's actually a pretty good game to early the season. All right, the next game, what's going on with Deshaun Watson? I'm starting to see more and more of this. You brought it up earlier this week.
Told you.
Not practicing. People are wondering why he's not practicing.
Saying where there's smoke, there's fire, Tony.
That's right. And they just happen to have the San Francisco 49ers who are pretty good at playing football.
And you know what? I wouldn't want to play them either because that's going to make for a long afternoon.
That's right.
You know,
so if you're Deshaun Watson, maybe you just sit around and not get involved in this
one. Yeah, because you know who does want to play? P.J. Walker.
Yes, P.J. Walker wants to play. That's right. Thank God he landed on a team that values him and where he knows the starting quarterback is just going to quit with a little shoulder injury, even though he's apparently healthy.
Well, you can't find the right masseuse to rub it out.
Oh, but I'm bummed, people. Two shows nightly. Don't forget to tip your waitresses. Yeah. 49ers are likely to go 6-0 in this one. Look, if this is the game local in your area and you don't like either one of these teams, just watch for the Niners. I know you're going to get to watch them all season. I get it. But the Niners are special. That's a special team. It's tough to win on the road in the NFL, but when you're San Francisco, it doesn't seem to be all that hard.
Here's the problem, kids, with this game is that if you don't watch the first half, not worth tuning in.
That's right.
Because by the second half, you're going to be like, who's that guy? Never heard of him.
Yeah.
I have that feeling.
The Dolphins are home at Hard Rock Stadium, where they're going to take on the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers are 0-5. The Dolphins are 4-1. That's all I got except for this. It's a battle of Alabama quarterbacks. Bryce Young and Tua Tagovailoa.
There you go.
How about that for a little nugget of information?
It's the over-under in this game.
The over-under in this game is 47.5.
Take the over.
Yeah, take the over.
That might be one team.
That's true. It could be 48-0.
Yeah, okay. I don't think we've discussed this far because, I mean, the last two games we figured out was 72-3?
Yeah.
If they don't get a touchdown again, what's the narrative? What do we do moving forward with this team?
With the Patriots?
With Belichick, yeah. If they don't score another touchdown.
Are we at the Patriots yet? We're not at the Patriots yet.
No, we're not
at
the Patriots yet. What am I thinking of?
It's Carolina-Miami.
Yeah. Why am I jumping the gun?
Carolina's 0-5. They are just building. You were thinking when I said quarterbacks, Alabama quarterbacks, you probably thought
Mac Jones.
Yeah,
I immediately went Mac Jones.
Rather than Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
I immediately went Mac Jones. That's on
Bryce Young and Tua Tagovailoa, the two, the Alabama connection. Even though they're like, one was coming and the other one was leaving. They didn't really overlap that much. But anyway, Panthers are rebuilding. They're okay. People, I think, are calm in Charlotte. Like, we know what this is.
Yeah.
The Dolphins, one of the best teams in the NFL. So, there you go. All right, we are going to, let's continue after. I don't want to get into this next game, because I do have a lot to say about Indianapolis and Jacksonville. That's coming up. So, there you go. We're going back to some early afternoon games, later afternoon games, including the Patriots, which I'm sure we will dive right back into the 72-3 over the last two games conversation, as well as the Sunday night game and the Monday night game. That's all coming up. NFL value schedule when we continue. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we are continuing with our look at the NFL schedule. We're giving you the little insights of making it worth your time to pay attention to these particular games in Week 6. What are the nuggets of goodness we can generate? What are some of the things that are not so good about these matchups? And let's continue with we've got two more games in the early part of the afternoon. Jacksonville and the Colts. You know why I like this game? Because no matter how bad the Jags used to be, the Colts would lose there all the time. Constantly. In fact, the Jags have won their home game against Indianapolis the last 8 times. Now, the reason I have to kind of put that in air quotes is because one of those home games was London. But since 2014, Jacksonville has found a way to beat Indianapolis at home, even when they were terrible and didn't have Trevor Lawrence. They beat Andrew Luck. They beat Jacoby Brissett. They beat Philip Rivers. They beat Carson Wentz. They beat them all. And they are going to be up against a Colts team where both teams are 3-2. But the Jags have a London hangover. They spent the last 2 weeks in London, 10 days total, for their games against Atlanta and Buffalo. I don't know if that's going to be a factor now that they're home in Florida and they're like back from vacation, because we've all been on vacation, right? When you come home, you don't want to go back to work. This was like a mini vacation, even though they did some work.
Yeah.
You know, they had fun there.
And I don't even know how much can you call it work, what you did to Buffalo? Didn't look like they tried that hard, because it looked like Buffalo did it to themselves.
Buffalo was kind of sleeping through that game.
Yeah.
Titans are going to do that. Titans just left yesterday for London. We'll see what happens.
So that's going to be an easy road for Baltimore. Baltimore,
now,
thank you.
Steve Bisciotti of the Ravens was like, no, everybody goes. We're all got a big charter. Everybody goes. PR people, sales people, we're all going. They've got the hotel for us. We're all good. Just have in London to have a couple days. Spread the love of Ravens Nation around the country of London. the city of London. Titans were like, no, we're just going to show up, play a game, and leave. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah. New Orleans Saints at the Houston Texans. I got nothing other than C.J. Stroud. I got nothing. I still have no idea if the Saints are good. They're 3-2. Are they good? They beat the Patriots. They beat a terrible Carolina team. They squeaked by Tennessee. Are they good? I don't know. Is Derek Carr decent? I don't know. I've got no idea. I think they're mediocre. The Titans, though, C.J. Stroud is emerging.
You mean Texans?
Is emerging as a rookie of the year candidate.
And this is kind of might be a little bit of a rivalry game. Just because, there's a lot of transplants on both sides.
Sure.
You know, for whatever reason. Probably because they're close together.
It's close. Close enough.
So, there's some interest there. But, yeah, I'm with you. I like the Saints' defense. I don't know about their offense.
The Texans should have won that game against Atlanta. They should be 3-2 going into this game. Atlanta came back, game-winning drive, but still no interceptions for C.J. Stroud through 5 games of the season. Come on. Really? A rookie quarterback's not throwing a pick yet?
To show you he's not going to have longevity in this league.
You
got to throw 20 interceptions.
Yeah, exactly. You got to throw a bunch of them. Everybody go, oh, you got them out. Because when they start coming, they come in droves.
I'm curious if he ends up throwing one, does it turn into a floodgate for him?
Does it? Yeah. Do we wake up one day and go, wow, C.J. Stroud's thrown 17 interceptions in his last 3 games.
Yeah.
He had 0 through 5 weeks.
He's terrible.
Yeah. Now it's like, whoa. Patriots at the Raiders. What a wild game this is. This is a game where the Raiders have nine players on their roster that played for the Patriots. Josh McDaniels not only was their offensive coordinator, he brought other coaches from New England. There is a familiarity that Bill Belichick has with this Raiders team. Do you remember last year, Jacoby Myers, when he was playing for the Patriots, threw that lateral that went, I think it was Chandler Jones, who has got some problems now, but I think it was Chandler Jones that picked it up and ran in for a touchdown.
I think you're right, yeah.
Remember that? It was this wild play. The game was tied, and the Raiders just win it on a walk-off defensive touchdown because Myers had a brain freeze and just chucked it in a lateral to nobody. Remember that game last year? Well, if they did that again, I wouldn't be as surprised as this Patriots team completely falling apart. They've been outscored 72-3 in their last two games. Bill Belichick is feeling it now.
Now, this one was shocking to me. It almost ended up in the good, the bad, the dumb. But, I mean, I kind of get it after, you know, looking at all the other games. This is the Nance-Romo game.
Is it the Nance-Romo game?
Yeah.
God bless him.
I don't know if it was pre-planned ahead of time. I don't know if it's – I think it's simply because there aren't a whole lot of options in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And they're not sending them to do the 10 a.m. game or the 12 noon game.
Jim, the Patriots don't look the same, Jim, without Tom Brady. That's my million-dollar analysis. That's why you pay me the big bucks. Here's the thing, Jim. And when I've studied the tape, what I realize, they don't have Tom Brady anymore. Is that good enough for people? Yeah.
I don't know if there's a whole lot for them to say in this one.
Not much. Not much other than this Patriots team stinks. And the Raiders, look, the Raiders aren't all that great either. Let's not kid ourselves. They're not all that great.
No, they're not. Not at all.
Not breaking down the door of anybody anytime soon. How about the Cardinals and the Rams? Okay, look. Are we done with the Cardinals being like a tough team that doesn't quit and plays hard? And are we done with that?
It was one game.
Yeah, I was going to say, we kind of, like, because, boy, I was guilty of it, too. I mean, I was like, hey, they played pretty good against Washington and lost. And they had a big lead against the Giants and gave it up. And then they beat the Cowboys. Maybe this team is a little different. But, you know,
we should give more credit to Rocket Scientist.
Yeah, but you know what? The last two losses to San Francisco and Cincinnati, what really were they going to do?
Right,
so maybe not. But anyway, they're 1-4.
I am surprised, though, that they didn't put up more of a fight against Cincinnati, just because I have like a funny feeling about Cincinnati being good right now.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, I know it's a good team on paper. It's a great team. Don't get me wrong. It's just, you know, you're only as good as, you know, your quarterback leads you, and I don't think Joe Burrow is 100%.
You don't?
I don't.
He threw three touchdowns and 300
yards. I mean, he looked much better. I'm going to put that more on Waddle than Burrow.
All right, we'll see. Yeah. Because I saw him taking that magic elixir now. And for some reason, that calf injury just disappeared.
I think it's still there.
But anyway, they're playing the Rams. Rams are 2-3. Yeah, I got nothing there.
I've got nothing in that game.
Okay, Jets and Eagles. Okay, here's the thing about this. I bet people didn't know this. Here's your fact of the day. This is the thing you can bring to work later on or talk to your friends about this. The New York Jets have never, in the history of their franchise, beaten the Philadelphia Eagles. They are 0-12 all time against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Is that right?
It is the only team they have never beaten. They have beaten everybody else in the NFL, but they are 0-12 against Philadelphia.
Would not have guessed that.
Now, here's the great thing about this. It's not like Denver and Kansas City, because we just watched a game last night where Kansas City has a 15-game win streak, but it's a short time period. Right, it's Denver struggling. They haven't found a quarterback. They're going through some things. Patrick Mahomes has emerged, and they play twice a year, so you can gobble up a lot of games very quickly. One's an AFC team, one's an NFC team. They play once every 4 years. If you go back to the 70s where that wasn't really in place, that sort of schedule model wasn't really in place, you've only gotten 12 matchups between these two teams. But you're talking about all the quarterbacks, all the players at various times in the history. And the Jets have never found a way to beat Philadelphia. The Eagles that were good, the Eagles that were terrible, the Eagles that were mediocre, Randall Cunningham, Ron Jaworski, you name it, Joe Namath, Richard Todd, Vinny Testaverde, you name it. Never once have the Jets beaten Philadelphia. And guess what? They're not going to do it again this week.
No, not this time.
Not this time.
Hey, listen, you know what? Zach Wilson has been playing a little bit better. He doesn't have that magic potion.
He's, you know what? He's not going to be. This Eagles defense is good. This yeah. really good. They're just.
I don't think
they're
gonna,
not going to.
I honestly don't think they're going to get blown out.
No,
but,
I don't.
But, you know, they're missing one of their most versatile offensive linemen, the Jets. And so I think that's going to play a serious role. And I think. I don't think it's going to be as comfortable as Zach Wilson has made it seem to look the last couple of weeks.
All right, the last game in the late afternoon, we might have to hold off the Sunday night and Monday night games until the next segment, but because I do have some things to say about Lions and Buccaneers. One thing, first things first, the Lions, I love the Lions.
It's the show's team.
I just love them. They put up 6 touchdowns. They average 27 points a game. Their story is great. Amon-Ra St. Brown is becoming a star. Jared Goff's got a great story, but you know what? Baker Mayfield's got the Buccaneers 3-1. Now they're not good 3-1. They're not an outstanding 3-1, but he's got a team in first place. You can quibble with the details, but he's got a team in first place. These two guys, think about this for a second. Think about how tough it is to play quarterback in the National Football League. These two guys were both number one picks in the draft. And just a handful of years later, they're playing on different teams. That's how difficult this job is. I mean, it's the hardest job in sports. Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield should be on the teams that drafted them, leading to victories and good play and teams that are going to the playoffs, because that's what you do when you are the number one overall pick. That's the theory behind being the best player in the draft. But both of these guys are trying to, and in Jared Goff's case, he's kind of done it, revitalize their career. Baker Mayfield's got a little bit more to do. Nevertheless, it's a battle of division leaders, but the Lions have been really fun. We'll get to the other two games coming up next.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, we got two more games to get to, the Sunday night game and then the Monday night game. Just really touching on the Lions and Buccaneers. I don't know where Baker Mayfield is going to end. You know, I don't know where the season is going to end up for him, but he's doing pretty good things in Tampa Bay. Again, it's not on the same level of like what Jared Goff is starting to do in Detroit, but he's doing some pretty good things. But it's just, again, it's mind-boggling to me.
It feels good.
Yeah. He's on his fourth team.
That's what's amazing.
Since he got drafted in 2018, he's on his fourth team.
Yeah, I actually thought the Rams were going to hold on to him, too.
I did, too.
Just because you know that Stafford days are numbered. And I know the Rams don't have a backup. And right now, I still don't think they have a backup just because, they drafted Stetson Bennett. That was it.
Well, I think Baker was like, he signed to like a one-year just – finish
think,
up the
you think
season
he
deal.
Said, I'm
and
out?
I think he said, look, I'm not going to be the starter here. You're paying a starter. Tampa Bay needs a starter. I'm going to go compete for that job. So I'm going to go down. I'm going to go over there. They lost. Brady's gone. They got Kyle Trask. They got Blaine Gabbert. I think I can beat both of those guys out and actually be a starter in this league rather than sitting behind Matt Stafford. So that's likely more of a business decision on his part to find a place to start. But let's get right back to it. We got two more games on the schedule. The Buffalo Bills and the New York Giants will play at Orchard Park on a Sunday night. Now, the Giants may not have Daniel Jones available. He suffered a neck injury against the Dolphins. Saquon Barkley is practicing on a limited basis. He's missed the last 3 games. Here's the thing. Here's the stat for this game. The Giants have allowed 30 sacks this season. That's the most in the NFL. The Bills have like 21. That's the most in the league. So pay attention to how many times whoever is quarterbacking the Giants, Daniel Jones or whoever, is on their back. But Matt Milano is not playing for the Bills. He suffered an injury in London. The Bills are going to look to bounce back. They all recognize what happened in London was them pretty much sleepwalking. But they should be ready to go Sunday night against the Giants, who are just holding on. But I pointed this out. We pointed this out with the Giants before, and I just want to reiterate this again. The opponents for the Giants have been known for a while. It's part of the formula, so this was not given to the Giants out of spite, but they have been given an incredibly tough early stretch to their schedule. This is, as I mentioned last week, but now I'm going to repeat it, this is now the 5th team in 6 weeks where the opponent they're playing made the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Here's the list. Dallas, San Francisco, Seattle, Miami, and now Buffalo. That is, those are five games against playoff teams last year in your first 6 weeks of the season.
I guess those are good.
Yeah. The fact that they gave the Giants back-to-back games against the Dolphins and Bills.
Right. That's the one that hurts.
Like on the road, too. They didn't say, look, we know you got to go to Miami. We know you got to go to Buffalo. But we'll put the Buffalo game early and the Miami game later. No. They shoved these in back-to-back weeks for them. It's a very, very tough stretch. By the way, three out of the last four games for the Giants, not to belabor the point, but here we go. San Francisco, Miami, Buffalo. We're three right. of the four games, and one, and all of them on the road. Somebody must have angered somebody within the Giants.
Or do you think they, you know, the computer guys, the scheduling guys are sitting there and just like do do do, and they bring it up like, you know, the Giants have this tough stretch, and just, you know, they all look around like, well, every yeah. once in a while it just happens. Oh well.
They turned the schedule in, and the NFL office went, hey,
how great.
We got a couple of changes to make. But the Giants here look like they're front-loaded. Yeah, but if we do that, it's just more work.
Yeah, then if we do that, then the Cowboys will be front-loaded.
Yeah, that's
oh,
right.
Oh, wait. No. Yeah, we need this.
Keep it the way it is. It's fine.
Yeah, if we do that, the Eagles. No. We need the Eagles back. You know, we're liking the Eagles right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, front-load the Giants. No one cares about them. Besides that Barkley kid, he'll probably be hurt anyways.
I gotta talk to my cousins, my dad, like all my family members that are Giant fans. When you looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year, did you just go, oh, God?
Yeah, because we all do the same thing with our schedule.
Yeah, win, loss.
Do they go sit there and go,
oh, boy.
Maybe
Who
a
did
win.
We make mad?
Maybe a win.
Like, hold on. We just went 9-7-1. It's not like we went 16-1.
And they sit there and look like, you know, play that odds and go, well, if so and so does, if Trey Lance is playing,
exactly.
The beginning of the season, because, you know, he was supposed to be the starter. Like, you know, that could be a win for us.
Just a reminder, I'm not complaining about the opponents. That was set in stone. It's the order of the opponents.
Yeah.
That's what I was like. That's the one reason
you think about the
schedule in the first place.
I think the Giants might have the toughest schedule in the NFL.
I think it's the toughest first six games of anybody in the NFL.
I mean, that's
mile.
A given, but even going on, because you got to play the Cowboys twice, you got to play the Eagles twice.
No, you're probably correct.
Commanders aren't a walkover, and then they had the NFC West this year. Right?
And so, the NFC West and the NFC East. AFC East.
AFC
that was part
East.
Of their AFC schedule, is to get all the teams
right.
in
I
that
mean,
division.
So, I mean, you're not talking about, I mean, the, you know, the Cardinals might be an easy game, and that's the one win for them. And
right.
they had to come from behind to do that.
And they had to come from behind to do that. But you're right. I mean, remember, too, they were supposed to be playing Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Right? So they're not getting that.
So.
Right? The Patriots weren't supposed to be this god-awful.
So they are getting that.
So,
but this is the type of game where the Patriots probably beat them.
Right. They gave them, and by the way, they just when you think, okay, we'll get all the tough games out of the way early, and then we'll rally back to make the playoffs, they've been given the Eagles two out of the final three games
of
the season.
Yeah, that's okay.
Just when you think you got some happiness coming.
I'm going back to your original comment that they made someone mad. Because
it must have made somebody
not
mad.
Only did you front load it, but you put them, or maybe it was like, well, we'll give them a bone because the Eagles will probably have already clinched the playoffs. That final game, no one's going to be playing for the Eagles.
Right. So here's what we're going to do to Giant fans. We might make them happy at Thanksgiving, but we're really going to make them sad right before Christmas. How about that? So they're really going to feel the turn of the seasons around Christmas time. Joy to the world, right? And all of that. The Giants have to play the Eagles twice to close out the season in the last 3 weeks. All right, how about the Chargers and the Dallas Cowboys on Monday night?
Thank God.
Are the Chargers rested? Is Austin Eckler going to play?
Are they going to be in a similar situation of like, what's it called? The Dodgers and the Braves? It was too much time off.
Too much time off for the Chargers, yeah. Dallas is going to try to bounce back after losing embarrassingly to San Francisco. Monday night game's relatively interesting. Chargers have won back-to-back games. They started off the season losing two, but then bounced back. Now they're 2-2. They got a break. Now they're on for the stretch run all the way through. The bye week's coming a little early, but whatever. The Cowboys, you know what? We said this about Dak Prescott. When he wins, everyone's like, yeah, Prescott's pretty good. The moment they lose, it's like he's the worst quarterback to have ever played in the National Football League.
To ever play the game ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
The idea that he's a professional football player is insane to me. Like, the narrative is never in the middle. It's never like, You know what? He's got some things to work on, but that was a tough defense. He's got to bounce back. It's like,
or, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you had a bad game.
Yeah.
You had a bad game.
It's never that.
Quarterbacks have bad games every once in a while.
Yeah. It's never
It's truly fascinating that it's either this extreme or that extreme. It's nothing. There's no gray area.
Yeah, exactly. He becomes a subject of memes.
Yeah. There
was something about fantasy football. ESPN used something about fantasy football teams that have not won a game on ESPN.com, and they used Dak Prescott's picture for it. Something along those lines. Like, he is the punching bag for fans. Like, it really is crazy. And I get it, because he's the head coach. I mean, he's the head coach. He's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. I get it. But at the same time, at some point, you know, this is the guy they're going with. You know?
Right.
Like, you can't go from Dak can take us to the Super Bowl to he shouldn't even be in the league. Like, it's too extreme. The answer is somewhere in the middle. He's good enough for 12 wins, but he runs into better teams in the playoffs that beat him. He's got to learn to beat those teams. We said that it was kind of a must-win mentally last weekend because he's got to be able to know he can get over the hump on the 49ers. Right now, he doesn't believe that. He doesn't believe that. You know who else doesn't believe that? Debo Samuel doesn't believe that. He thinks the game will be worse if they play again. That was 42-10.
Yeah.
What's he talking about?
70-20.
What I'm wondering is, when the Dolphins put up 70 on the Broncos, do you have a lot of teams going, okay, well, the gate's open now. Like, I'm done being nice.
Pulling all
my starters in the fourth quarter.
It is amazing to think about that, because we've never really had, you know, you routinely see it in college, and you almost expect it. You almost expect Ohio State to do that to Youngstown State, or Alabama to do that to, you know, what's the matter, you, whatever it might be. You always expect those high scores. In the NFL, you never expect it. And is it because there's a certain amount of professionalism, or is it just, we're done?
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Like, we're just gonna call conservative plays. We're just gonna run the ball. We're taking our starters out, and even though the starters want to do well, they're not really fighting for anything. Like, I'm not gonna change quarterbacks because my backup did well late in a 35-0 game. But in college, you are like, hey, put me in, coach, and I'll show you what I can do, and I'll beat up Towson State for you, and you'll give me a roster spot down the road. But also, too, you know, in the NFL, they're just like, you know, everybody's cool.